put one right here. It's always something.
Okay, I guess welcome, John Morrison. You're welcome to lead, and this is your meeting.
Okay.
Bob Stevens in place of Mark McCauley.
Well, Bob Stevens is actually here because he's the director of General Services, and which includes the fair. I would like a few opening comments because this is the first time I've gone out and actually observed the fair all 10 days and in quite a long time since I've been out there. I was dazzled by the level of improvement from my recollections. Every morning after the morning security and operations meeting, I walked the fairgrounds and they were immaculate. It just was stunning to me. So there's no surprise in my book that kind of attention to detail has translated into an incredibly successful fair and breaking the records from a record-breaking year. So with that point, I'll let John talk to you about the results and his folks that made it happen.
Great. Are you also recording in your study remarks on that?
We are. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Well, I appreciate you saying this is my meeting. I don't see it as such. I see it as yours to receive this report. But even though I don't see it as my meeting, I took a couple of liberties. I brought my staff. As you know, in the past, I've come down here with maybe one person. And I invited the facilities folks from the county to be here. And I did that for one main reason. That's why I'm sitting here. And that's why what you hear is as good as it is. And if you don't mind, could I introduce my staff?
I think it would be great. We want to recognize the heroes.
Thank you. Okay, on the left, I have Chris Huggett, who is representing my events department. Kathy Sula, who's in our admin office. Donna Dowdy, who is my finance director. Ray Dowdy is the assistant to his wife. And I know you know Mike Wright and Daryl Stump. Could not have done it without them. I don't consider them my staff, they're yours, but I consider them part of the fair as much as I do anybody else in this room. Ed Lynette, the operations chief, and you'll hear a lot more here in a couple of minutes about marketing, but Matt Ferris, the marketing director, and his assistant, Evan Flanagan. And as normally occurs during the fair, if I look to my left, I see the auditors. So Tom, thank you for being here. Okay, Bob alluded to it. It was a very, very successful fair. A year ago when I briefed you, we were briefing a record-setting fair. And I will tell you in all honesty, when I was finished with that and I went back to the office, I thought, maybe that's a good time to step aside. You know, it probably doesn't get any better. We set 5 very, very specific records at that fair. Some were in the food court area, some were in the carnival, some were in the income and the bottom line P&L. We broke all 5 of those records this year. It was just a fantastic fair. I don't know whether it was I know it's a combination of things, but it was perfect weather. We had that one day of a little bit of rain on that Friday, but we had a great entertainment lineup, not only in terms of quality, but cost. We had a staff that I think was totally focused on the customer service piece of this fair, and I've said it to you before and I'll say it again. I feel that I live and die by the numbers of the fair, but if you look at it from the other side, the numbers don't have anything to do with it. It's what the fair does for the public that makes the difference. I have not ever had a year where the number of, I'll use the word complaints, the number of comments, the number of suggestions that were somewhat negative or things that they didn't feel we did well, all-time low. I mean, literally in the ones and twos. If you say, how did you do with parking? I think I heard one person who had a comment about parking that they weren't happy with. Smoking the same way, quality of the food, prices, rides, etc. It was just a banner year in every respect as a result of, I think, the staff that I've got in the program we put together. However, having said that, there is a by-the-numbers aspect to the fair that I'd like you to know about. And before I do, this year we had a new point-of-sale system at the fair. You know, in the past, we've always counted people by the clicker. Every day, the first thing I would ask if I come in the office, how was the clicker count? That was a combination of a lot of young folks standing at the gates, clicking people as they come in and out. We were using that as some measure of our success and what our attendance was. This year we had a POS system, much like you see in a retail establishment, where you've got your ticket sellers, rather than having stacks of pre-printed tickets, they're using a screen, they're touch screening what it is you ask for, and then what you ask for is printed right there on the spot. It's then scanned and you're in the fair, so we've got great data that we're going through right now to give us some demographics by day, by hour, by gate. We kind of stuck our foot in the water on barcoding. Everything that everybody had was barcoded. I was barcoded. I think as we improve this system, we'll go more and more barcode, so I can tell you how many volunteers, how many paid, how many repeats, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's only going to get better from here, but it was the first year, and as anything, as you can expect in that size, it had warts, it had things we had to get used to. I know Tom and his folks were out, looked at the POS system as part of their cash handling and gave us some good recommendations. Our gates are old. They're small. I don't know if we fully realized the difference between stacks of pre-printed tickets that you hand out and now a ticket that has a computer, a screen, a printer, etc., a card swipe. So we've got some work to do in the ticket houses out there to make sure that it's not only more efficient, but something that the folks that we hire to do that can do comfortably. So that's one of the issues that we'll have to deal with. But having said that, the paid admission was $1,138,555, and that was an all-time record high. It exceeded last year by 18.9%. Gate revenue, which was $979,577, was the highest of any year ever, and it beat last year's second high by 17%. Excuse me. You know, we had concerts in the grandstand. We brought all the concerts from the amphitheater back to the grandstands, and that has paid dividends far beyond what we ever envisioned it would do. The marketing department.
You said that the paid admission was $1.1 million something, and $979,000.
That's money at the gate.
Money at the gate.
Right. Paid admission would take care of folks who bought their ticket at Fred Meyer online. Pre-sale. And I find that the pre-sale market kind of follows the economy a little bit. I think if the economy is getting better, people are more willing to put money into a fair ticket in advance that they might not use. I think you don't see that quite to the extent in the carnival wristbands. That's a $30 investment. If they think you're not going to use that, they would tend to buy that more on site. But that's the difference, my paid admission versus my gate revenue.
So you have those two together, you get two.
No, of the 1,138,555,979 was at the gates. Yeah. The concert sales, as you know, we had our four concerts and we had the tribute Tuesday in there. We put 1,000 seats on the grandstand floor, offered those for sale for $25, which included your $11 fare admission, and then we had a golden circle in front of that for $35, and the idea was to give fairgoers an opportunity to be up front a little closer. If you know the grandstand, you're really talking 106 feet. If you're in the grandstand and if you want to be down on the floor, you're not that much closer, but you're in a little more of a personal setting. And in those four concerts, we had $90,000 of ticket sales. And that is in addition to anything else that we just talked about here. the carnival. Butler has been the carnival here since 1993. They have looked at the Clark County Fair as probably the crown jewel of what they do in fairs, certainly the fairs in Washington. Last year, they had an all-time record high year here at the Clark County Fair, not only at this fair, but any fair that they play in Washington. And this year, they were up 8% from that record, and their carnival gross was $1,367,000. That was a second year in a row for them setting a record. And they are just extremely pleased here. And we've got them for another 3 years on their basic contract, plus the extensions that are built into that. Food and beverage, I don't think I would have ever even ventured to guess that the food and beverage would be as good as it was. 2014 was a record year, and we beat that by 4.88%. We had 49 food booths with a total of $1,709,000 of food. And if you're familiar with our contracts, we are a straight percentage fair with our food, so 25% of that flows to the fair. So there's obviously a great interest in doing what it takes to get food and beverage served to the public and to keep our food vendors happy. We had five record days this year. We had a record opening and final weekend. A year ago, on the second Saturday of the fair, we had a $264,000 day in the food court. We average about $175,000 a day in that food court, and it's $264,000. It was big enough that we went back and we looked at the numbers to make sure there wasn't some mistake in that. Well, this year, the second Saturday was $308,000. We had 42,000, I'm estimating about 42,800 people on the grounds on the second Saturday. Now, there's a couple of reasons for that. One is the popularity of the Tough Truck competition. But the second is, on Friday we had the rain, and I was actually down 18,000 people from a year ago. I would guess that probably at least half or maybe more of them came on Saturday. It's the final weekend of the fair. They missed Friday or they didn't want to come. So I think that added to my normal 32,000 I have on that second Saturday. So that was, I think that was one aspect of why it was such a big day. It's the first time we've ever had to close the grandstand. I looked at the grandstand about probably a quarter to two in the afternoon. I was standing there, as a matter of fact, with a couple of staff folks here, and I made the comment, I don't see the aisles. I mean, people had literally filled that grandstand and started filling the aisles to where it looked dangerous, if you will. And so between Coast to Coast and the Sheriff's Department, we got people moved back into the seats, kind of packed them a little bit, but literally had to close the grandstand to keep people from going in there. And they then, of course, stood in the open area where they could watch the show from there. Having done that for the first time ever, I thought, wow, I've got a plan for that next year. Well, it happened again the next day. On Sunday, on Monster Truck Day, we had another record attendance day, and we had to close the grandstand again. We actually had, we actually had people at the parking lot entrances in a one car out, one car in mode. It was that packed. There was a lady that came to the office and talked to me, and she said she had made four laps through the fairgrounds before she found a parking spot, which makes this entire C-Tran conversation that you and I have had even more important. There's a 5-acre parcel of land just north of the fairgrounds that in the past we have rented if we had a really large concert and we thought we might need that for that night. We have rented that. In retrospect, I wish I would have rented it for the final weekend, but I don't think any of us saw this successful of a fair coming. It was kind of the same game plan, the same population. It just was an exceptional year. I will look at renting that next year. I will tell you that will happen. The food vendors out there, our newest outdoor food vendor was a restaurant from Battleground called Las Macetas. Last year was their first year at the fair, and they took a kind of undesirable spot just to get their foot in the door, and we moved them to a much better spot on the plaza floor, and they saw a 50.4% increase in their revenue. We've really emphasized to the food booths in their appearance and quality. But appearance, appearance, appearance. You walk in that food court, you're going to make your decision on the appearance, and the quality will tell itself. One of the food booths we've worked with a lot finally agreed to take on some food booth upgrades, and they had a 58.7% increase in their food with the same offerings, basically the same prices. The biggest booth income this year, again, was the Clark County Dairy Women, and for the second year in a row, they exceeded $100,000. They were at
$104,000.
The
county's famous for that, right?
There they are, yes. And I'm going to say my staff contributed significantly to that, but I'm going to leave it alone. We had two major features on the ground. As you know, in the past, we've either had one, maybe one and a half. We had two major features on the ground this year. We had the Sea Lion Splash and the Wild About Monkeys. They were side by side on the west end. They were hugely popular. Actually stopped the flow of traffic on the midway while their show was going on. Thank you very much. Even though I had taken the time to get them moved to a little bit bigger spot, we tripled the bleachers. Thanks to your facilities folks here, we put a drainage system in last year. With the sea lions running around, the ground got wet. It was standing water. Facilities folks came out there, did a drainage ditch into an existing drain. It was bone dry. We were down there the other day after a rain, and it was bone dry. So they did a great job. But the combination of those two was, I think, a big factor, not only in our population growth, but obviously the food vendor performance on the west end of the fairgrounds. Beer and wine sales, that's always a question I get asked. It was up 27.5% from a year ago. Just to give you an example here, since we have started serving beer and wine at the fair, the daily average on the opening weekend of sales was $5,400. This year it was $14,400. The final weekend, the daily average since we've started doing that was $7,700. This year it was $16,800. So nothing changed. We didn't get a sponsor. We didn't increase our number of sale points. We didn't expand the area that we serve in. It was just, I think, again, one of those reactions to a great fair and a great year. We did not have one, am I correct, one alcohol problem on the grounds of anybody being escorted off, arrested, or anything. So, good year. Commercial vendors, the big building, we had a revenue increase of 12.8%. Chris Huggett, responsible for all of that, and his efforts paid off. He was on the phone and selling booths right up until, I believe, almost the last day before the fair, weren't you, Chris?
Yeah.
We did have the same number of government and community booths, the 11 that we normally have. The Clark County Sustainability Display was in there in South Fall 3, as it's been in the past. The Clark County Sheriff had two booths. WSU came back with their Germ City, which is a really good education piece for the public. It's important, obviously, as a public health issue, but at fairs, if you watch the news or you're in that business, cleanliness at fairs is just huge. Whether it's E. coli, other animal-related issues, you really have got to be careful that you're protecting the public. As much as you think people are smart about what they do, how they eat, where they eat, you see some things out there that just absolutely would just amaze you. So Germ City, very popular, and it was a great education opportunity. Okay, sponsorships. There's two kinds of sponsorships that we live or die by at the fair. One of the cash sponsorships, and the other of what are called the in-kind. Matt Ferris is in charge of both of those. He had a goal of $170,000 of cash sponsorships this year, and he realized $183,000, I believe. And that was an increase of 7.6%, and he increased the in-kind sponsorships from $410,000 to $480,000. That's a double-edged sword. An in-kind sponsorship is something, I guess the most obvious example would be Clark County Lawn and Tractor gives me all of my John Deere tractors and all that equipment I need at no cost. And in exchange for that, they have a display area in South Hall 3 where they display new farm equipment. And that's the trade. No money exchanges hands either way. Well, when you build that kind of a relationship with a lot of sponsors and you give it up to $480,000, it wouldn't take a big economy dip before somebody said, I really can't afford to do that this year. You need to either buy in or I need to rent that rather than give it to you. So I'm really careful with it because we don't budget for it. We don't set $480,000 aside saying, what if? Matt's really sensitive to it, and he keeps me very well informed as we start driving toward the fair. How do the in-kind sponsorships look? Are people willing to come back? We make a concerted effort to sign those contracts before they ever leave, or at least get the commitment that they'll be back in the same relationship. I don't have my exhibit numbers in yet. That will probably be toward the end of the month. But I think we had good exhibits. I have gone through all the critiques. I heard from the livestock people, some areas said, well, we were up a little bit. Some people were down a little bit. It's interesting as you look at the agricultural flavor of the county, and it's not unique to Clark County. It's probably statewide, if not countrywide. As agriculture becomes more corporate and more business-oriented, you'll see a decline in FFA programs and a decline in the big animals, if you will. And I see that out there. My guinea pigs, rabbits, chickens, those numbers stay flat or grow a little bit. Beef cattle, dairy tend to either stay flat or get weaker. Most of my dairy comes from out of state, from Oregon. I've got a pretty good in-state, in-county presence in beef. But as we move forward, that's a challenge that we'll have to address every year. How do we keep this fair agricultural, and how do we keep it relevant? And there's two very, very different aspects to that when you manage a fair. There are people who come out there for the relevant piece, but there are people who come out there for the agricultural piece. And you try to tie those two together with food and rides and things like that. But there's clearly a balance that has to be struck, or you'll turn a fair into a carnival before you know what happened. So we work that very hard with our exhibitors. As you know, the second Saturday of the fair is the Junior Livestock Auction. Very, very popular event. Does a lot for the youth of Clark County. They have partnered with the Youth Against Hunger program that raises money for the and food for the food bank. We had a auction of about $383,000 of total sale this year. Of the number of animals in that sale that were donated to the food bank, that equated to about 6,000 pounds of meat to the food bank. And, of course, the balance of that money then becoming part of these young folks' college programs, hopefully, or certainly at least an investment that will invest in their future at some point. Bottom line, P&L. As you know, I'll be back probably the first week of November with the third quarter report. My contract with the county for the operation of the fair says that I'll produce a third quarter report, which is basically the fair report, and that'll be in sufficient time that I will have all of my income and all of my invoices in and have a bottom line number for you. Last year's bottom line was $445,000 plus. I can confidently sit here and tell you that's not going to be any problem at all to beat. Where's Donna? I didn't hear a gasp from the back of the room here. So, okay, things I'm working on for 2016. I'm going to continue with the concerts into the grandstand and make them free with an option for people to buy if they'd like onto the floor down there. As you know, there are fairs here in the state that are, they talk to me, you know, we all talk. All the fair managers, we've got a pretty good relationship. The Collins County Fair is a good example. It's free. You just walk in. But once you get in there, then things start costing, whether you're going to go see the rodeo, the motorsports, the concerts, whatever. We're kind of the opposite. We pay to get in, but then we try to make as much no cost to the public as we can. I would like to keep that philosophy with the concerts in the grandstand. We continue to work on how do we open and close the fair that's friendly to the public, at the same time recognizes the needs of the exhibitors and the vendors to get in and get out. And I don't know if we'll ever completely solve that. But I work as hard as I can to make this thing public friendly and then, of course, exhibitor and vendor friendly at the same time. Smoking areas, I've talked to you 2 or 3 years in a row about improving that. Did not get one complaint, one comment. We've got the designated smoking areas. if there was anything, it was the people who are smoking asking, where is it, as opposed to the people not smoking saying, look what's happening here. Motorized vehicles on the grounds, I take every year another step forward to try to get that down as much as I can. It's a pedestrian environment out there. If you were out there on that last weekend, a motorized vehicle on the grounds would not have been a problem because I don't think you could have fit it out there. I mean, they literally are just jam-packed with the public, and I try to make sure that what I'm doing out there doesn't jeopardize anybody's safety or their ability to get around. So having said all that, sir, that is kind of the once through of the Clark County Fair for you. It was a superb effort on part of the staff. I cannot tell you enough how much I appreciate the support I got from the county. If I had to go out and put a contract out to a company and say, here's what I need. I want somebody out here who has command of a lot of resources that can get me a carpenter, a plumber, an electrician, whatever, almost on call. As a matter of fact, why don't you have them just be out here just in case I need them? And I'd like to have this 24 hours a day for the next 10 days. These numbers wouldn't even be close to this. That's what I get here with Clark County, and I appreciate it very much.
Well, I wanted to say thank you for your courtesy, Jesse.
You're on.
So, thank you for the courtesy. I went out on the last Friday, and actually I was thinking there was another week at the fair, but alas, not so.
Felt like that to me, too.
So, I appreciated the tour. We spent maybe a couple of hours doing a tour. Very impressive. And I hadn't been to the fair for a while. I forgot how much fun it is. It really is fun. And I always end up gravitating to the agricultural exhibits. But I also like the commercial exhibits. So you do get a crossover in that. And I did see how you were being very thrifty with the use of golf carts or whatever you call those things, that the care that's given, because it's a pedestrian atmosphere. At the same time, for logistics and management, there has to be an effective way to get around. I thought that worked very effectively. So I appreciated the courtesy of the tour, and I appreciated just the fair as a whole. It was great fun. And I stood out by, I think it was the West Gate, where you could see the rides, the fence. And ghoulishly, I watched for about 10 minutes as one of the rides would go up and whirl around, and just to see the look on people's faces, they're plunging down. I tried to get a picture of it to put it on Facebook, but it's not the same as seeing it for real. So, then their laughter and their giggling. So, people just had a wonderful time. And it's an inexpensive way for families, as a family, to go somewhere and do something together. That's really fun. I appreciate that.
Well, I thank you for the comments, and I was more than happy to have you be out there. Your comment about the expense, that actually is the number one thing I hear from people of why they don't go to the fair. They say it's too expensive. And I am really sensitive to documents or things I read about what other things cost. I get it that it's expensive for people. I have no problem understanding that. But sometimes I look back across that and I think, for a family of four, for that amount of money for four tickets, and if you rode the C-Tran, you can be there all day. And there's a tremendous amount you can do, from education to entertainment. You can bring your own food. You can picnic. You can do whatever you'd like for that day. And you're going to be less than $60. Unless you decide that you want to go on these rides, or you decide that. It's your decision at that point, but you've got a day together as a family, and it's not a $12 movie that in 2.5 hours you're back home saying, what was all that about? But then again, I get it. It's not a free event, and there are people who struggle for that, but I understand it.
And Todd, I want to thank you also for the tour that we went and had, and the lunch you bought, and bought that. Thank you.
Bobby, I definitely you better get the mic over there. You go.
Okay. The staff, I have to give kudos because we know behind a good leader is the staff and the people who are really doing the work and your leadership, and that means a lot. I went back out there, took the entire family, had to use the credit card to get in, it cost that much. But we were all there, and you know, I think that you'd have to go back a second time to see everything. Just to do what we did, and we were there for a long, long time, to be made for the Dutch troops again. Just a great job, and really good for the family. So, just can't, you know, I guess give you something to aim for again next year. I look at the Clark County Fair every bit as important as the parks that we have. It's part of Clark County. It's something that people expect in Clark County, and it's just as important. So, when we look at it in that phrase, in that line, we're going to make sure that it's always fun as well.
I appreciate that, and I agree. We are probably close to a two-day fair. If you're out there with your family, and that includes young kids, older kids, and the parents, there's enough to do in each of those niches, if you will, that if you spend the time doing it, you're probably not going to get through it all in one day.
It was great. We almost tried it. Everybody bought a different place.
John, I really want to thank you for, first of all, the way you introduced this. All of these positive numbers and all these records and all of the metrics that kind of indicate the success of this, and just the studying success, to use Bob's word, and even though you followed it with all of that, you introduced it in a way that has the right focus, and that this blesses, serves the people in our community. It's their experience that you're focusing on. And the rest of it is that's kind of the good fruit that comes from knowing why we're doing what we're doing. And then you figure out how to do that. So that success is really founded on that great foundation. The identity of Clark County, this is really a part of who we are as a community. And it's the reputation that we have across the state and across the nation. The staff and all those volunteers that serve and make it happen, just make sure that they receive the gratitude from us. I am also aware of the improvements that have been made step by step, year by year. Several years ago, the Wi-Fi inside the Expo Center got improved, and I'm curious, we haven't gone all the way across the grounds with Wi-Fi, but that's one of those areas that you still want to be able to expand to, correct?
That's correct. We took a huge bite out of that project, though, sir. And matter of fact, I think in the budget that you're working on right now, there's a line in there to finish that out, and we're not that far from the goal line on that. But I will tell you that the IT folks here in the county, Bob, facilities, without their understanding of how important it was that we have this thing done and brought to fruition on the 7th of August, I couldn't have done it. Just absolutely, I could not have bought that amount of attention to detail and priority. And then we did. We opened it up where every vendor on that grounds could process a card through their credit card system if they had to with the Wi-Fi. That West End was critical. It's just so far away from everything that without that, and I think that contributes to some of these numbers.
Yeah.
When people can efficiently and effectively do the business that they have come out there to do. So I think we'll get that finished up this year.
Yes, and those investments are paying off. I know we've done some work to get some of the electrical overhead down, very safe. The drainage and that for the water associated with the sea lions, that's all taken care of. The power generators that were added.
Yes.
I guess we improved the grandstands, right?
Yes, all of those projects have happened. The generators that were added, that was for the Butler Carnival area. Our contract provides for a $25,000 capital improvement fund that they fund, and we rolled the first 2 years of that into that project. But again, it was your folks that did it. PUD right now is out there looking at the second increment of power underground in the east side of the food court, which is, as you know, it's just a spaghetti works of wires overhead, old poles that are leaning, rusted transformers. All of that will be underground here before the next fair.
And as we, I think there was the acoustics in the horse arena that you wanted to improve.
Yes, and that did not happen.
There are still things.
That contractor defaulted, and so we rented an improved sound system. But we're right back out there. The money that was in the supplemental that you folks approved, and I thank you for it, is still there. So we're right back out on the street getting another bid to have that done.
Okay. So as you look at the next fair, I assume you've got your list of improvements that would make sense, that step by step, year by year, those improvements can be made. I encourage you to go ahead and continue what you're doing, and that is to prioritize those things and know that some can do this year, some next year, and plan ahead. One of the things that you may consider is that instead of each year just simply taking a big chunk, that you might prioritize some of those things and plan ahead and say, in 3 years we're going to purchase this thing, so we're going to put a little bit aside each year, so that when you get there, you have the cash fund set aside to do that. So anyway, that's just a suggestion.
Sure.
You know how to do those things better than we do. Just know that you're supported, and for good reason. So thanks for a great job.
Well, I appreciate that. One last thing, if I'll close it, you'd made a comment about our reputation in the state and in the country. We did get a visit from the Washington State Fairs Commissioner. As you know, 2 years ago we had a visit, and we received the highest score they've ever given. And we beat that.
Well, great. Make sure you're kind of like, it'll be like our firstborn daughter. She got these awards in high school. We find out about a week later. It's like, let us know when you get these awards and these recognitions so that we can share that.
I will. That report will be finalized in the first week of October and then presented at the Washington State Fairs Association convention, which is the third week, and that'll be the event where we come back with all of the swag, if you will. So you will know.
Hey, Bob, thanks for your stewardship on this and making sure that our team here is well equipped.
In regards to planning out improvements at the fair, I will say that John has always done that. Even back in my days in the budget office, there was an endless parade of packages for improvements. What has been our biggest handicap in that is not saving money to do them, it's that we have things break faster than we can improve them. So if you'll think back, we had to replace the big reader sign out on the interstate. We have parking lot F that is just a Daryl and his folks did an amazing job of getting us through the fair, but it's a disaster waiting to happen. So ever since the county took over the fairgrounds, we've been playing catch up, and we're hoping for the day where we're finally caught up and we can focus entirely on improvements. But so John has always had to juggle that, those two aspects in terms of the improvements we've been able to make and the grounds we need to maintain.
Okay.
Is
that
right?
Yes,
that's
sir.
It.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.